Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We have been in the business of buying and selling rare coins and precious metals for over two decades. I know I repeat that a lot, but I do think it's significant. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You know what I'll do at the beginning of the show instead of the last second and a half? Basically, folks, you know we live in this techno world, correct? Yes, I know you're aware of that. One thing I always try to slam into the end of my radio show is, you know, hey, leave us a review and get a free nice Morgan dollar. However, I always do it under about 675 miles an hour and 400 pounds per square inch of pressure for time. So what I will say to you, ask, beg, plead, request, whatever you want to call it, if you would be so kind, okay? So here's the deal. We have done, believe it or not, it sounds unrealistic, but we have legitimately done over 300,000 individual transactions with customers over the years. When I studied mathematics, applied mathematics and statistics in college, you know what statistics is. At least you know what statistics is on a basic level. When you get into the mathematical ends of it, you would not even believe how complicated it becomes and how incredibly accurate it becomes. And on top of that, when you see surveys, how biased things can be thrown, you know. We had a deal. I'm actually going to talk about leaving a review, but I got to tell you a story. I want to say 88-ish. Maybe it would have been a little before that, right in that era, maybe 87, 88. Whenever the Bush election was, we had the pleasure of the Republican Party allowing us to conduct a survey off of their phone list, okay? This was our statistics department. Of course, I actually had a professor. Of course, this is the 80s. I actually had a professor who was a conservative Republican. Uh-oh. Those don't make it now in colleges, do they? So what we did was we had a series of five questions, and we added five additional questions beforehand, okay? So the five additional questions beforehand were, let's say, bias, persuasive, etc. So we had four different groups calling people, and we said, do you mind taking a survey? Of course, this is the 80s. People weren't getting beat up by phone solicitors every second of every day like they are now. So they were a lot more open, and it was politically oriented. And we said, hey, we're the Republican Party. We're calling Republicans, blah, blah, blah. They were open to it. So we had four groups. Okay, so the last five questions were, you know, which of the following things do you think Bush has done best, you know, or whatever. And so the questions leading up to it we would start out with, which, I actually kind of skewed what I was saying there. Forget that part about which did they do best. So the beginning questions were the skewed questions. In other words, we'd have one group that each of the first five questions were just totally trashing Bush, like saying, so which of these five things that Bush did wrong as, you know, CIA director do you think hurt the United States the worst? And we did five questions that were very detrimental to his reputation, not to destroy him, just to do statistical studies. And you'll understand the point in a minute. And then we had kind of a graduating scale all the way up to a group that had five questions that were absolutely online. We just picked back up. We had a System overload. Anyway, so what I was discussing briefly was Bill Gates was attacked by Clinton. They wanted a portal to the back to basically be able to get into anybody's computer at any time. Bill Gates, a.k.a. Microsoft, Paul Allen, said, no, it's a violation of our clientele's prophecy. How about privacy? If their clientele had prophecy, that'd be really cool. But anyway, so he said, no, we won't do it. So Clinton went after his character, destroyed it. So Bill Gates immediately started a $250 million per year fund for lobbying, number one. Number two, Bill Gates started the old what? Gates Fund, Gates Investment Fund. And he started to give and give and give because Bill Clinton and gang said this man is a evil, you know, self-centered, whatever, right? Well, the Gates Fund has its own problems. I know a girl who's a sister of a friend of a family who I won't get into details, who is involved in the management of the fund. One of their primary goals, and I hate this, I hate it, and I hate it a little bit more. One of Bill Gates' primary goals at the start, now I haven't verified this for a number of years, many years, but it's probably been maybe 5, 6, 7 years since I verified this. They had people whose job was to verify that Bill Gates, aka Microsoft's people that managed his fund's job, was to determine that none of the money was going to any Christian organization. They had companies that they had approved that they would find out later had some affiliation with Christian organizations, and they would literally cut them off. And which is sad, because Christian or not Christian, but you and I both know Christian is better. Oops, we're biased. Yes, I learned about bias in college statistics, and yes, you know, when you're right, well, let's do this. When you're right, are you biased or are you right? Okay, when you know God and you know the truth, you're not biased, you're right. Those who don't know the truth are biased. So we started the Gates Fund, which grew like a weed. Even Warren Buffett at one time. Now, I'll tell you, God made natural law and physical law. I have discussed this numerous times on this radio show. The difference between, you know, the laws of thermodynamics, you know, the laws of physics, you know, all that kinds of stuff. And basically, the thing is, you could go through the Bible, and this would be a really cool study, is to study the laws of natural law, or the list of natural law, okay? Not the list of physical laws, but the laws of natural law. And that's kind of sounds, you know, redundant, but you know, they have the laws of thermodynamics, okay? And one of those things, which basically, in my opinion, because we read these laws of thermodynamics, we read these from our solar system, where it's at and what it does and how it sits. And the laws of thermodynamics appear to apply to the entire universe. First law, thermodynamics. You know, basically, when energy passes as work or heat or with matter into or out of a system, the system's internal energy changes in accord with the law of the conservation of energy. Equivalently, perpetual motion machines of the first kind that produce work with no energy are impossible. Okay? So when someone says they have a perpetual motion machine, Don't buy into it. Why am I saying that? I have had people invest in this stuff, okay? It doesn't exist. Second law of thermodynamics. In a natural thermodynamic process, the sum of entropies, in other words, the breakdown of materials of the interacting thermodynamic systems increases. Equivalently, perpetual motion machines of the second kind, machines that spontaneously convert thermal energy into mechanical work, are impossible. So the second law of thermodynamics, to simplify it, means everything just breaks down. You lose energy. And no matter what you do, third law of thermodynamics, the entropy of a system approaches a constant value as the temperature approaches absolute zero. With the exception of non-crystalline solids like glass, the entropy of a system at absolute zero is typically close to zero. So heat affects entropy. Heat affects breakdown. Look at our Earth. We're getting blasted by the sun all the time. It tears things down, breaks them down. Why? Energy. It's pouring energy in. As long as energy is entering a system, it is tearing and breaking things down, which is why the theory of evolution just doesn't work. Okay? So, anyhow. So, back to good old Bill Gates. So, the long story short of it is, he started to spend $250 million a year immediately in the 90s on lobbyists. And he also created the Gates Fund, which was an investment fund. However, he tried to eliminate all Christian input, which is really sad, and anti-God. He was an atheist. And I just... atheism really bothers me, folks. Is if you go back in history, all until basically Darwin and Marx and so on, people always believed in God. There was a debate over who God was and what his attributes were and his personality. And there were deists, as some argue that Jefferson was, which basically meant that God wound up the watch and let it go. But when you look at what we live in and who we are, I mean, personally, it's physically impossible to say it came due by accident. This survival of the fittest and all this stuff, it's completely contrary to what we see, okay? We were the free will experiment as humans because we can harbor both good and evil simultaneously. No other being created by God can do this, okay? That's why the demons, devil, Lucifer, etc., once they rejected God, turned their back on him, and walked away, and they were unredeemable. Something about humans absolutely infuriated them. Just infuriated them. They hated it. And they started out by crying. It said, the hosts of heaven cried out. And then they figured something else out about us, and man, did the anger flow. Then you had the war in the heavens. You got Michael the Archangel. You got Jesus. You got Lucifer. It says Lucifer took a third of the stars with him, which is referring to the angels. Something really ticked him off about us, okay? So I started out on bias. The bias of the media, the bias of the press, and the bias of the political system, etc., and so on. Now Bill Gates spends billions of dollars a year on lobbyists. Google, you would be blown away. I mean, Google, folks, I mean, I honestly think, hands down, Google has more power than our government in every facet of your life. Thought life, you know, they feed you what they want you to see. They eliminate what they don't. The CEO of Google visited the White House over 400 times under Obama. There was mass scrubbing of anti-Obama material. I personally used to pull some of the coolest stuff off the web, a.k.a. Google, and I'm telling you now, it is G-O-N-E gone. Cannot find it, disappeared, scrubbed clean, wiped free, not there. Okay, so Google is extraordinarily biased. Google is an extremely liberal organization. completely anti-capitalist, anti-Republican, anti-conservative, anti-Christian. Over 400 visits to the White House, documented. None of this stuff, folks, when I spit out numbers and statistics, this stuff is absolutely 100% documented, you know, period. You know, hands down, bar none. No, none of this stuff is not findable by you. So once Bill Gates got the Gates Foundation going and heavy lobbyists, and you go, where does all this money go? This is the conversation I was having with a friend who's in D.C., who is in an extremely key position, you know, that oversees and is affected by lobbyists and politicians. And, I mean, he's in a room with everybody who's anybody. And, yes, he's a believer, and he tells me that these people that you see on TV that you think are messed up are absolutely completely messed up, just as you see and as you think. And so basically what happens with all this lobby money is honestly bribes, okay? Now, you get into the Bible. This is where things get real weird. Bribes and gifts. Okay, you go to the Bible, study bribes and study gifts. This is kind of scary, sad, whatever. You cannot find a scripture that forbids bribing or giving gifts to persuade others. The Bible warns those receiving it. It assumes those giving it are natural and normal. Why? Very simply, what country have you been in, third world, that doesn't use bribes, where everything's not negotiable, where every game is played? America, you know, you walk into a store, the price is the price. The girl at the counter has no authority. She's got to charge the price or you don't buy it. Go to the government. Pay for your tabs on your license plate. You pay it or you don't. If you don't, you no get. Okay? This is America. Hypothetically, our police officers are clean. They're not, you know, highly influenced by bribes. Okay? You go to other countries, bribe away. This is what they do, how they work, and it gets really extreme. The biggest problem is our police officers are affected by power, the coverage of a fraternal organization, and training by government-hired specialists in dealing with crisis, okay? The biggest problem is that they accelerate the situation massive levels beyond reasonable. I could tell you a story upon story, literally. I could spend the whole show telling you stories just in Spokane of people being murdered and killed by the police. What do the police always say? Well, they didn't obey our commands, okay? So say you're completely innocent, just like Donald Trump. They say, oh, we're going to impeach him for obstructing justice. Well, how can you obstruct justice if you are innocent? I mean, it just does not make sense. If you're innocent, you didn't do it, and you're trying to influence the investigation, and you're innocent, you're not obstructing justice. Now, I know the laws, they interpret differently, so on and so forth, okay? But basically, what I'm trying to get at is a couple things. There's bias, extreme bias. Be aware of this. And I'm saying this because they're coming out with all these polls. Oh, Trump's behind Biden and Trump's behind, you know, Buttigieg, the homosexual, whatever he is, you know, and on and on. And the liberals, you know, socialists, democratics, which they want to call themselves, which is basically the stepping stone to communism. And don't ever forget that communism is the application of socialism. Socialism's a soft, nice name. And also, folks, I do not care. Well, I'm sorry. Don't take that wrong. It does not matter how poor you are. Socialism will destroy you. It will lock you into poverty the rest of your life. You don't want that. What you really want is the American dream. You want success financially. Oops, I said it, but people are like, oh no, you can't serve God and mammon. No, you can't. You don't worship mammon and worship God. But did God in the throughout the Bible, has he blessed his favored, chosen people financially? Absolutely. In almost every case I can think of, why? Because their hearts were in the right place, okay? They could handle it. To him who is given much, much is required. But back up. He who is faithful with little will be given much. Be faithful with little. Malachi 3. God says, how will you rob me? In your tithes and offerings, okay? He says, test me in this. Give me your tithe and see if your storehouses don't overflow, if I don't just pour blessing upon you. Trust God. I know you're not making much money in a lot of cases. You're like, I can't tithe, man. I'd love to tithe. I can't do it. Okay, fair enough. Give what you can. It says God loves a cheerful giver. Give what you can, but please intend to give more. Look for God's favor. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Reap to the spirit, reap to your flesh and get corruption. Reap to the spirit and you get life, baby. So you trust in Jesus. You trust in God. When God says, trust me in this, he's saying to you, I made it all. He says, the gold and silver's all mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I own everything. I control everything. And it is, not only is it a spiritual test, it is natural law. If you go around and you kill, you will be killed. Live by the sword, die by the sword. You may not be killed in the way you're thinking, with a dagger to the heart, but you will be killed emotionally, spiritually, and financially. God does not say how he repays. That's what's scary. You want to steal? I had an employee steal a tremendous amount of money. And I absolutely think that, with, you know, the Bible says you have to pay back sevenfold. Can you imagine that? You steal $100,000. Now you owe God $700,000. But guess what? God doesn't take it all out financially. And by the way, that's a heck of an interest rate. But God will take it out of your health. I'm sorry to say this, but he'll take it out of your children. I've seen a situation where a guy was embezzling incredible amounts of money. He had one child after another born with acceleratingly worse physical ailments. I told the guy, it's karma. You want to call it what you want. It's God's justice. Stop. I mean, I've had an employee who worked for me for 2 weeks, had no money. A month later, he worked for me. After 2 weeks, he started looking for cars. In a month, he buys a car for $5,000 cash, doesn't get any wise counsel, gets a salvage title from a Russian car guy, and it's just a jalopy. And I said, hey, if you stole that money from me, that car will be cursed. He had 4 accidents within 1 month, including driving through a fence and killing a cow. He finally gave the car away. God is real, folks. God's laws don't apply only if you believe. This is why atheists and whatnot are so miserable and uncomfortable. And you can go stimulate your nerve endings, especially when you're young and everything's new in life and people engage in premarital sex at an extraordinary level and they, you know, everything you can imagine. But God cares about your heart, okay? Struggling with something and saying, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. I don't want to be doing this, and I keep doing it. You know, as Paul said, I do what I don't do, and I don't do what I want to do. That is the struggle that we live in as believers in the flesh, which is why those who believe in Arminianism that I've seen, I haven't studied it extensively, but they believe you can achieve a level of perfection on earth. I know guys who basically think they have, and boy, they haven't. Calvinism is like everything's preordained. You have no control over any of it. God just takes over, and you're a puppet, and I'm not a big fan of that either myself. Personally, sure it's true. God has, absolute complete foreknowledge. He knew you before you were born, okay? But that doesn't mean that he's going to persuade your actions. That doesn't mean that he's going to influence you. Now, can he come in and protect you? Yes. Can he guide you? Yes. How? Prayer. Prayer and seeking him. He can lead you down a beautiful path. Will you make mistakes? You bet you will. The more you're out there taking risk, the more rejection, the more mistakes you're going to make. If you sit home in your recliner and judge those who are out trying to serve the Lord, or even those who love God, who are out in the world, working and dealing with people, and they're making they make mistakes. Maybe they get angry or frustrated or say something mean. That doesn't make the person in the lounge chair at home doing nothing a better person. They call that second base coaching, or fourth quarter quarterback or second quarter whatever they call it. I screwed that up, huh? The bottom line, armchair quarterback, somebody who can sit there and criticize and so on and so forth. That is not our job. When the Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged, it does not mean don't judge, okay? It doesn't mean that you can't judge actions. Don't judge people. You separate the sinner from the sin, but you have to judge. You're born that way. You will judge the angels one day. And wow, right now when an angel appears, what do people do? They drop dead face down, prostrate before them and worship them. And what do the angels always say? They say, no, get up. Don't worship me. Worship the Lord. I've been sent by the Lord, And I've had a couple angelic situations. Just a quick story. Back in the day, my wife and I, young puppy Ruse, probably just getting going in banking. I was assistant manager for a bank in Helena, Montana. Probably about 24 years old or so, I would suspect about that, in 24, 25. My boss was not a pleasant person. Wouldn't tip. We had monthly reviews. Take us out to lunch. He wouldn't tip, and he said, they get paid. I had no money. I was broke, but I'd dig in my pocket what few dollars I had, and I would, I'd tip, and just because I knew it was right. And we had a situation where I've always had golden retrievers, love them, but they do shed. And I vacuum my dogs daily. I try. Sometimes I don't have the energy at night, and it gets too late. But that's my goal. I lost one of them here recently, the sweetest one of all, an absolute dove. Had a little bit of mental disorder. Just an absolute, just a level of sweetness you can't even fathom. But anyhow, so we lost a dog who we had an irrigation canal. We lived out in the valley of Helena, Montana. Just a huge, nasty dust bowl. So bad. The year and a half that I lived there, the roads and the washboards completely, utterly destroyed one of my vehicles. Okay? So this puppy decides to swim upstream through a culvert, too dumb to swim back downstream, and dies, drowns. Just crushes my wife's spirit. So I come home early. I got this old beater Land Cruiser four-door FJ55. I used to buy them and rebuild them. And I'd gone to a guy and had a 350 conversion put in it. And it wasn't from a good, reputable rebuilding company. And he sold me a bad motor. Knew it did. 24 hours, the thing burns up. I park it, call him. He says, where is it? He goes down at night, drains the oil, and said, I let the oil run out, which is really stupid because how would you do that in 24 hours? So we go to court, and he knows the judge, and I get mocked and kicked. You know, basically, I was young, didn't know how to handle things, not a good situation. So my wife and I are, that was later. My wife and I, the dog dies. It's getting kind of dark. We go up the Rimini Valley where my wife and I drive around, which is one of our hobbies we used to do, is just kind of head to the mountains and enjoy God's beauty. So we head up the Rimini Valley, probably west of Helena. And, I mean, it's a rocky place. A lot of mining had taken place up there. So we drive up one road. We're looking for a place to bury our dog. And we hit an absolute full-blown rock slide, completely shut down the road. We didn't see the rock slide. It already occurred. The road's done. There's nowhere to go. You could not physically ever get across this rock slide. But on to our left was a cliff. To our right, to our left was a cliff down. To our right's a cliff up. A cliff up. Turn around, start heading down. When this guy redid my motor, there was radiator problems. The radiator would run out of fluid, overheat. And guess what? It's sun's going down. My radiator overheats. We're stuck literally in the middle of the Tules. And I'm talking the mountains of Montana. You don't get visitors up there much at all. Not to mention the weather wasn't too pretty. Okay? So we're sitting there, and I said to my wife, we're going to pray. Pray, Lord, please, you know, blah, blah, blah. We need your help. We're stuck. Our car won't run. We've got to find a place to bury the dog. It's late. We're scared, you know, da, da, da. Instantly, what I recall as being a Subaru comes down the road from exactly where the rock slide was. Now, there is no entrances onto this road between us and the rock slide. Physically none. Physically impossible. From the direction of the rock slide, this Subaru pulls up, and there's a gal in there, and to be honest with you, it was such a nondiscreet person. I mean, honestly, I didn't know if it was a gal or a guy, okay? Just a real straight face. It kind of reminds me of the Shroud of Turin, where Jesus had the long nose and the long face and the long hair. Very nondescript. They say that Jesus was not known for his beauty because they didn't want us to worship his looks or say, yeah, he was popular because he was so good looking. So this person pulls up, rolls down the window. I don't even recall if they said anything. I said, hey, here's the deal. We're trying to find a place to bury our dog. My radiator ran out of water. I need 2 gallons of water, and I don't know where to bury my dog. She or he... I'm serious, and I wish I could tell you which one it was, but it seemed a she, but maybe not. But anyway, they reach in the back seat of the Subaru, pull out 2 gallons of distilled water. That's all they had. Perfectly exactly what I needed, and said, if you go down this road, you know, 1.5 miles, and you hang a right, and then you go another mile, and then you hang a left, etc., right? And they said, there's a pet cemetery down there. We're talking miles away on roads that we wouldn't have gone on. So we fill up the radiator, drive down there, and guess what? There's a pet cemetery. So my wife and I, a free pet cemetery. So my wife and I are digging a hole, and we bury this sweet little thing of golden. And on home we go, okay? Angelic visit. No question, no doubt. Go to this church we were going to, Independent Baptist. Independent. Now, here's the deal. I hate to waste a show on this, but I'm going to long story short it. Ha! If I could. So, I'm in college. I become a believer through Navigators. Very strict doctrine. They call us the Never-Daters because their attitude, and you should teach this to your kids. If you can't marry them, don't date them. If they don't meet the requirements for marriage, don't date them. If they're, you know, if a friend asks you to the prom, that's different. But I'm talking dating, okay? So they called us the Never Daters because we were pretty stringent on that. And very strict doctrinal beliefs and very non-charismatic. And over time, I've come to really appreciate charismatics to a degree. Some of it gets extreme. The faith, name it, and claim it movement, not my thing. God does what, where, how, when he wants. You don't tell him what to do. But you know what? If whatever it takes for people to connect with God, amen, praise God. You know, this was when I was taught charismatics do cartwheels and backflips in the aisle, which actually would have been kind of cool because it'd be fun to learn how to do a backflip, round off, handspring, flip-flop. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so we go to church and we share our testimony. And I said it looked like a woman. And this pastor says, well, it couldn't have been an angel. What? Yeah, angels only appear in the Bible as males. Okay, so when the Bible says an angel can appear as whatever they want, they can't, I guess. I don't know. Didn't buy that too much. You know when you're touched by God, right? But they were, the Independent Baptists believe that they carry the baptism from John the Baptist. Nobody else's baptism is good enough. They're hardcore King James, and the preaching is hellfire and brimstone. I used to joke you had to duck in the pews or you'd get hit with the Bible being thrown at you. The way we got in was we were living out in the valley. We lived in Portland for a year plus. Couldn't find a church. My wife was super sick. Tried some Baptist churches because that was the name of the churches we went to. Not real sensitive to our situation. Things just didn't work out. So this guy comes to my door, knock, knock, knock. We go back and forth on doctrine. We're pretty much on the money. So we start going to this church. Went to one in Helena and one in Great Falls when I got promoted to manager of the bank branch. And learned over time, the Independent Baptists are so legalistic. They're extreme. And eventually God rescued me from that and gave me the freedom of love and worship and heartfelt seeking of him, not through actions. People that went to that church generally had an abusive past. It was a pretty hardcore condemning church, but anyway. They said, oh, that couldn't have been an angel if it was a woman because only angels appear as men. And I'm like, well, you know, it was kind of an in-between thing. But you don't tell God what he can do, when he can do, and how he can do it. So we've had that, and we've had other situations. God is good. God is amazing. You got to have faith. You got to believe. When you're in a pit and life's hard, he's there. He drags you through those hard times to prepare you for the good times. Now, you've heard the story. Successful people, they don't see roadblocks. They see challenges. Failures see roadblocks and quit. And they say, see, I told you it wouldn't work. It's kind of like the whole thing of, where the Bible says the righteous falls seven times and gets back up. The wicked fall down and stay down. And righteous believers in Christ, they don't give up. Jesus doesn't call us to do that. So Jesus doesn't call us to be milquetoast. Paul's very clear about that. Babes drink milk. Adults drink meat or eat meat. You can't drink meat. You can have a meat shake. That'd be kind of gross. Throw a little ice cream in there. But anyway, so that's kind of where we're at. And we basically, on that note, we need to be praying for our founders. Our leaders. I actually, what I was talking about with the lobbyists, you know, Google has a massive office in D.C. I was just there. Huge, huge. Why? Just hundreds of billions of dollars going out. Why? But you go back to Merck and Pfizer trying to pass laws. Consumer Reports, along with someone else, tried to pass a law where they required HEPA filters in hospitals and airplanes. Well, Merck and Pfizer sent every single congressman that had to vote on it, you know, on private boats, private islands. This has been quite a while ago. And, you know, you name it. They wined and dined and schmoozed them. Single men, they put on private yachts with five, you know what's, females that were there for their pleasure. You know, all this stuff. they swung the vote from the initial survey, you know, around 27% against to, 52% for. And they basically were persuaded. Why would you not want to put a HEPA filters in hospitals and make that a law? People get so sick. I could tell you endless stories of people catching horrendous infections in hospitals. People listening know the story. You know, the doctors don't care. They don't say, hey, it's our fault. Let us take care of it. It's always your fault. You know, they do these horrendous invasive surgeries. You don't heal properly. It's because your body didn't respond right. They say knee replacements, hip replacements. Some are great, some are not. Just, you got to be so cautious of our medical system because we still use the Western cut, burn, poison theory. And, you know, there's times where things work out good, and that's great. But, you know, people get their necks fused. They're never the same again. They get their back fused. They're never the same again. There's a medical term. If you get your vertebrae fused, it transfers the movement above and below the vertebrae, and guess what? Later on, you need more surgery, and so on and so forth. So, what happens is with all this lobbyist money, they're bribes. So these congressmen and senators, folks, they're living the good life. They're getting money. They're getting favors. They're getting, you know, everything that basically is on the gray line. They get trips. They get cars. They get all kinds of stuff. They get free two-year leases on Ferraris. They get houses leased for them. They get, you know, it goes on and on and on. So that's unfortunately where our government's at. We're sitting in a point right now where 77% of millennials want socialism. We've got hyperinflation. We've got Keynesian economics. Yes, the metals are moving and alive very well, folks. I'm going to tell you straight up. You've been procrastinating getting into the metals. It's time. It's time to make that move. You know, we have seen some nice movement in the metals. Gold alone. You know, gold has broken 1,400. Today we got $1,420 gold. Silver's 15.5. Silver's a bargain. Gold's still a bargain. Gold's been to 2,000 just in the last few years. But I'm telling you, folks, we're climbing that ladder. And we've got a previous high back in 12 of 2,000 on gold. You won't even believe the high. If you happen to not know this, you would be baffled by the high on silver. We're at $15.5 per ounce right now. Just a few short years ago, we almost hit $50 an ounce, okay? Now, that's where it belongs. Is there manipulation? Heck yes. Unbelievable manipulation. So you really need to make your move. I guess I'll keep it that simple. Make your move now. Stop diddling around. This stuff's going to go. It's got, you know, you go back to 12, I think, or so, and you literally have $50 almost gold, silver. Yeah, 40, whatever it was, $48.90 or $49, and it's just the value's there. Then, numismatic coins, folks, trust me on this. They are cheap. We hand select the best of the best, and we hand select good stuff. We move a ton of product through here, and there is a ton that we would not recommend you buy. We hand select the best of the best. What's its performance rate? Probably about 10% a year. 6, 7, 8, 10% a year. You don't want to go all in on one. You get people that want all gold or something, because I talk about gold and what the Bible says about gold. It's just like real estate. God gave his people real estate, right? That doesn't mean that the real estate that they got in the Sinai Valley or whatever means all real estate is good. Some's great, some's bad. You want some real estate cheap? Go to the Dead Sea. You can buy it. I don't even know what the heck. You know, it's so bad, it's pathetic. You don't want that stuff. You want the real deal. okay? And when it really comes down to it, precious metals-based assets, that's where you want to go. That is exactly what you want. It has been money from the beginning of world history. We've had huge changes at 9/11. We've got an escalating, imminent economic and financial, call it a collapse, a correction, whatever you want. It's unavoidable. It's inevitable, okay? Financial experts, they're abandoning paper money right now. I just spoke to a gentleman today who's got so much money, you wouldn't even believe it. He is so out of paper and so into assets. And he said everything's going up and it will continue to go up, everything hard asset-wise. The precious metals have always been the pinnacle form of real money and true wealth in every single civilized society. They're not an investment, and because investments involve risk. They'll fluctuate, yes, but you won't lose the value of them, you know. So you want your wealth secured and preserved for what lies ahead. You got nothing to lose. The movement is alive. We're starting to see the life come back. Precious metals are divisible. You know, they're completely portable, recognizable anywhere at any time. They're scarce. They're not easy to get. You got to dig them out of the earth. It takes work, energy to get them. Not fiat currency. You just push a button on a computer, you got it. You know, the precious metals are a stable store of value. It is all things the market needs good money to be. And it has been recognized as such throughout all history. Their true financial freedom and liberty, security and peace of mind, tight private personal control, universal recognition, desirability, you know, a never-ending insatiable demand, right? Compact storage unit of value. Gold is hundreds of percent more compact than $100 bills, which are fiat currency. So, you know, like I said, recognizable, identifiable, countable, weighable, fungible, which means it's the same everywhere, anywhere, in every condition. It's incredibly environmentally resistant. It's non-perishable. It's contrary to the second law of thermodynamics that I discussed. It's not subject to entropy on Earth, which is mind-boggling, okay? Wisdom, balanced and diversified. We're taught that young people can afford risk. How has that proven out? It's foolishness. Young people have time to be safe, not reckless. Precious metals provide timeless and true wealth and capital preservation. So you get the point. Give us a call. Get your portfolio squared away now. Folks, please stop procrastinating. It's simple. Do what God says. Read your Bible, second chapter of Genesis all the way through. Study gold. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm out of time. Love you. Goodbye.